Japan's devastating surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, launched the United States into full-blown total war with Japan, Germany, and Italy. Our civilian economy was transformed from civilian to wartime production, it seemed, overnight. Tens of thousands of young men enlisted or were drafted into uniform to fight the war. This left millions of jobs unfilled, and women came to factories all across industry to make guns, planes, ships, trucks, ammunition, and every other conceivable product to win the war. Nearly 19 million women were in America's wartime workforce, 3 million of them for their first time away from home responsibilities. Norman Rockwell's Saturday Evening Post cover featuring Rosie the Riveter was plastered all over the country, honoring women in America's fight. And we needed pilots for combat, tens of thousands of them. All of those would be young men. So female pilots jumped in to fill that void. In September 1942, two women's pilot organizations formed separately, the WFTD, Women's Flying Training Detachment, and the WAFS, Women's Auxiliary Ferrying Squadron. Well, in August 1943, those two were merged to create the WASP organization, Women's Air Force Service Pilots. General Hap Arnold, Chief of the Air Corps, selected the great female aviator Jackie Cochran to head up the WASPs. 25,000 women applied, 1,074 were accepted. All of them had prior flying experience and pilot's licenses. WASPs flew over 60 million air miles in every type of military aircraft. Our country is in their debt, and today we honor these great patriot aviators. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm David Hartman. Please welcome Schutze Reynolds, Connie Bolin, and Heather Penny. Ladies, Schutze, start us off here. You're the star here today. What's your first memory of being interested in flying airplanes as a kid?
Boy, that's going back a long way.
Well, you just told me you were really 39, so it's not that long ago.
Well, you got to turn that one around. When I was 7, I said to my family, when I grow up, I'm going to learn how to fly. But I had the interest long before that.
What was your parents' reaction to your telling them that you wanted to fly?
You're crazy. Girls don't fly.
Boy, so what did you do? I mean, obviously you figured it out along the way. How did you go about it?
Well, I didn't really figure it out. I just knew I wanted to fly. I seen an airplane go by. And when I was a youngster, an airplane going by one every 10 days, that was a big traffic pattern. I just studied. After I learned how to read, I read everything I could on aviation. I even took my brother's Boy Scout magazine and read the articles on aviation there. I was really gung-ho.
So how did you get around your parents not wanting you to fly? I mean, you had to raise the money, you had to keep it from them. What did you do?
Well, they were very supportive. If you had a dream, they figured, try it. If you don't make it, at least you had a dream. No use going through life without a dream.
So you went to night school, yes?
Well, I went to night school, but that's only because it was the CPT program. I got out of high school. They had a little article in the paper about there was aeronautical classes. I signed up.
But when it was a test, they were going to pick 5 young women, as I understand it, to have scholarships to learn to fly, correct?
Not women, men. When I reported from this ground school, I found out that there was a scholarship involved. 5 scholarships, of which only one could be a woman. There was only 2 women in the class, so I figured I had it made. But I also found out that the guys that were taking the course had taken it 3 or 4 times, so I figured they'd pass on perfect attendance. I took the private pilot's license at the end of the course, and the 5 highest score we'd get the flight scholarship, and I was one of the five.
And then what happened?
They took it away from me.
What did they say when they took it away from you?
The war in Europe isn't going well. We need men. We don't. Women don't fly, so we're going to give it to number six.
So what did you do to get around that?
I fought it tooth and nail. My argument was, you gave it to me. It's mine. You're giving it away. You're stealing it. So I think I made such a fuss, they gave it back to me just to shut me up.
So you had your license along with thousands of other young women, right?
Right.
Talk about the beginning of the two organizations we just heard about and how they were combined to form the WASP organization.
Well, Nancy Love went to the ferry command, said she could find women already qualified, high horsepower ratings, thousands of hours, for a direct hiring into the ferry command. At the same time, Jackie Cochran approached General Arnold. Actually, she went through Eleanor Roosevelt, the president, and on down the line, saying that we need more women. Let's train them the Army way. And that's how the two started. When she went to England, she took 25 women with her, and they joined the Air Transport Auxiliary, the Royal Air Force. And when she came back, Nancy Love already had her group in place, and Jackie Cochran was looking for a field to start training.
So tell us about Jackie Cochran. How impressive a person was she?
Hey, she was a go-getter. I mean, you wanted something done, get Jackie to do it. She'll be right in there. I only met her a couple times on a group basis. My thanks and appreciation go to Jackie Cochran for putting me in a cockpit of a military aircraft.
Wow. What was General Arnold's attitude about women flying initially?
When he was first approached on it, he said he didn't need it, but that was before Pearl Harbor. And when Pearl Harbor came, there was a critical shortage. So he said, I think we better try it. But there was no research. They didn't know whether, he himself said, I don't know whether a slip of a girl could fly a high-powered aircraft. So we're going to put the girls in as an experiment, and if they can do the job, we'll admit them into the military.
So there were 25,000 or so applied, 1,074 eventually became WASPs.
That's right.
So what was the WASP experience like? What did you fly? Where did you fly? Where were the bases?
Well, the first 6 months was all training, and we took the same training as the Air Cadets. And it was, of all places, Avenger Field, which we renamed Cochran's Convent. You made a mistake, you were out of there. And it was an interesting, we had girls from all over the country, different strata of the society, but we all welded together, and each one helped the other. There was no competition, we were all trying to get through.
About how many hours did you have before you started the WASP training?
About 120.
120. And what about most of the other women in that group? Were they all in similar territory or more or less?
More or less. A lot of them had gone through the same civilian pilot training program as I did. But you got to remember that was also in the college. The same program was offered to colleges. So a lot of them came from the colleges where I came from the non-college group.
What was the attitude of the male instructors toward all of you?
They wanted us to succeed.
Right. Did you have, we hear about call signs now. We'll talk with Lucky about that a little later. But she had a call sign. But did you all have call signs?
No, this was training. I mean, the only call sign you had was your last name. That's why you called me Schutze. That's my maiden name. It's not a call sign number.
Right.
And you were in roll call, Schutze, Sean and Sisler, run right after the other.
So how many months or years did you all fly as WASPs?
6 months of training and 6 months in active duty.
And then what happened? What was said when they no longer needed or wanted you? What happened? What was the end of the program?
It started in June of 44. The war in Europe was winding down. They were closing down the training bases in the States. So we had two factions against us. The pilots coming back from Europe wanted to get their flying time in, and those girls are in our airplanes, and we want them out of there. So they went to their congressman and said, those are our jobs. Those are girls. They don't have the right. In the meantime, the civilian flight instructors lobbied very hard against us because they were now no longer offered a commission in the Army Air Force. They were going to be handled a rifle and go on the invasion into Japan.
How many more years did you fly after you ended the WASP program?
Not too many. There wasn't any jobs available. I applied to the airline. They would offer a job only as a stewardess. Immediately after we were disbanded, I figured with my experience, somebody would want me. So I went to all places in Los Angeles. I went to the Russian embassy, offered my services. They treated me like a spy.
You know, Connie,
they didn't hire me either.